everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. This is part two of the two-part episode, my interview with Easy Wins Mitch, or Mitch Harb, as we fondly call him when we're calling him by his regular name. If you haven't listened to part one, please be sure to go back and listen to part one before you proceed. This is part two of the two-part episode with Easy Wins Mitch. This is my personal opinion, where I think that people get in that mindset of thinking, well, I ate that cookie, I've ruined the day, is it started with one of my earliest influences was Bill Phillips' Body for Life book back in the day. So this is probably predating when you were like a fetus, you know, way back. But he was like, you know, in the bodybuilding space. And are you familiar with the book or no?
I've heard of Bill Phillips.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, he was one of the first books that came out that was kind of mainstream about working out. And it was really like weights every other day. But it was a very smart, relatively smart program. Weights every other day, 20 minutes of HIIT training every other day and one day off. And then it was like, I think one day you had a cheat day where you could eat everything. And this was before the internet was what it was today. So again, I'm going back into the ancient days, you know, when I drove a horse to work. But back then, like, I remember I read the book and I wanted more information. And it was the first time I'd ever used protein powder was reading that book, because I read about recipes, but I wanted to connect with other people. And so there would be Body for Life forums. And I went online and I connected with other people and I learned about all of these things. But that was when I started getting a lot of input from people who I would share, like, hey, this is what I had for my Body for Life lunch. And somebody would go, oh, you're eating lunch meat. Well, that has nitrates. That doesn't count. You've ruined everything. And they would say stuff like that. And then I would say, oh, well, I'm not doing HIIT training because I don't have a gym membership. So I'm just doing Taibo. And they're like, oh, no, that's not high intensity interval training. So you're really not doing the 12-week program. So you should start over. And that was for me where I would get input from trainers and even just people that were very fit. And I got into a mindset of, if you don't follow a diet or a plan to the letter and you go off and have one thing, you've ruined everything. And to this day, there are dietitians and trainers out there online who will say, oh, well, like if you're following a paleo diet and you go out and have a piece of bread, that gluten stays in your system for 8 weeks. I know you've heard this stuff, Mitch, right? Like that, yeah. It stays in your system for 8 weeks. So you ruined everything. And then you get into this fear of like, oh my God, I've destroyed everything. So you do think as a dummy, maybe I'm joking there. That was negative self-talk. Sorry, I retract that. You think I've ruined everything. Do you still see that kind of bullshit advice going out there? I think that's where people start to think, I just destroyed everything. So because they actually think eating those donuts at work on Friday has negated everything they did for the week before that. And I think that that's something that still permeates the fitness space. Do you see it?
Yeah, you know, I see it here and there. I think I do my best to just kind of like keep my my feed, I guess you would say, in a good bubble with people that I know their message, I respect their message. But no, I mean, I see it a lot in outside of that, you know, in person. I'll like overhear it, you know, from trainers and stuff. I'm just like, man, you know, it's tough. It is tough that the amount of information like that goes out, because for me, you know, that's never really made sense, because I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, like the next day, I ruined it. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and things are going to like, it's going to be a fresh slate. Like, what's the point in thinking about that? Like, all I can really do is make this day good, you know?
Yeah.
Or this second half of this day.
And this is why, for everybody listening, I am intentionally choosing people like Mitch to be on the show, because I'm somebody who has been exposed to the wrong types of input for years. And it got me, you know, I mean, I have to take responsibility for the fact for my own mind and what I allowed to, you know, like live there and what I harvested there. But for years, I mean, and sometimes I want to say to trainers who are out there, this is not to bash trainers at all, but understand how powerful your words are over the people that pay you, because they're listening to like everything you say. And so the more trainers that can have a more sensible mindset and tell people like me, tell nut jobs like me who are obsessive and perfectionistic and overachievers that like, hey, when you, tell me if you agree with this, Mitch, the biggest change that I have made in my fitness journey is the understanding of how much when we stress and obsess and overanalyze what we eat and how, you know, how we're training and we try to be perfect, the stress is so much more damaging from a hormonal, cortisol, fat retention perspective than whether or not we had an extra 500 calories that day or not. And so for me, learning, I finally gotten to the point where if I eat off plan, you know, if I didn't plan to have alcohol that night and I have it, instead of going, oh my God, I've ruined everything, I'm like, you know what? This was one drink. I'm going to have a kick-ass day tomorrow and I'm going to balance this out the rest of the week and it's all good, because I know that the stress is so damaging. Do you agree?
100%. And that's why it's like, there's literally no point, you know, like if you want to balance this out, help yourself out, stop thinking about it, you know, and move on. And I think, you know, now that you talk about it, I think it really comes from just the, like, I think it comes from kind of the bodybuilding world and the competing world, because, you know, in that space, you kind of do have to be closer to perfect. Right. And I think a lot of people from the outside, they associate that with fitness. So they think like, if I'm not doing what a bodybuilder is doing, I'm wrong. But it's like, if you don't have plans of looking like the top 1% on a stage on this one day, it really doesn't matter much, you know?
Mm-hmm. So true. I remember, you know, one of the people that I love to follow is Brooke Entz, who's just badass. And she's obviously just like a warrior queen. But she put something up one day and she was just like essentially saying to her followers, like, you guys and gals are comparing your day to mine. And like, this is my career. My career is competing in the CrossFit Games. And I have the liberty and, you know, honor of being able to go to the gym for 4 hours a day and train and have people work on my, you know, mobility and have my nutrition provided for me. Like, this is my full-time job. And so to be at whatever she is, 8% body fat, like that's okay for the average person. That's not realistic. And yeah, I think that it's a huge space online, the figure competition, bikini competition space, but women in particular, I think men kind of get like the body, you know, your average guy doesn't want to look like a bodybuilder competitor. And they know that that's a completely whole different game, but women will see bikini competitors and the bikini competitors who are put on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, Hers magazine and Oxygen magazine 4 weeks out from competition. and they think they can look that way.
Right.
And what's not being told is like, do you understand how they've dieted and worked out? And that at this point, 4 weeks out from competition, they're already starting to manipulate hydration and they're taking diuretics and they're like, it's not sustainable. And then your average person doesn't know that that bikini competitor who goes on stage after she gets off stage and has a glass of water gains 5 pounds because she's just rehydrated. And that's the kind of stuff to me that I think from a media perspective, there's this huge gap that is, it's not reality. Do you think that that's true in men's magazines just as much as it is in women's magazines? Like they're not giving a reality check of like, hey, you can't really look like this year round.
100%. And I, you know, number one, I wish people could like take a pill and feel how that person on that cover feels, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not feeling great, you know?
Yeah.
But on top of that, like they showed, I think it was Aquaman, that Jason Momoa guy,
mm-hmm.
big, huge guy. He was ripped up for the movie. And like after the movie, they showed like a paparazzi got a picture of him and, you know, he looked decent. He wasn't like cut up, you know, his stomach wasn't as defined and people were like, wow, look at him really let himself go. And it's like, no, that's just real life of, you know, you can't look like that all year round. And I think that's what people mistake is they think like those bodybuilders look like that at all times. And then they think like, wow, why am I not looking like that? Cause I've even fallen that trap too myself. Sometimes it's like, you know, man, I'm trying so hard to look this way. Why am I not like that when I wake up or right after a meal, you know, you kind of get down on yourself. Like what's going on? It's like, because they look that way for 30 minutes. You know?
Like, exactly.
It's not. And that really shouldn't be your goal anyways. I think the magazines really do mess things up. And I think the Instagram pictures really mess things up because you'll have someone do a photo shoot, right? And then they'll just post that year round. It's like, but that's not you right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I had a couple pictures and they were like face pictures and I learned how to do Lightroom. And I was like doing a little bit of like, and I'm like, you know, I'm just not a fan because I don't want people, whether it's my face or my body, I've never edited my body. But I don't want people to see me online and then see me in person and go, whoa, right. That's brutal. You know, I don't get it. I don't. And I saw, well, there's so many exposés. And I think, so the key is really for people, whether you're in the fitness space and you're familiar with all this or whether you're new, for me, I stopped reading fitness magazines because number one, pretty much every month it was the same, hey, how to get ripped. And it was the same bodybuilding diet, 6 meals a day. This might be a good thing to bring up because this is still out there, the bro diet, right? Yeah. And for everybody listening, what I'm referring to is for years and years and years, the only way they would tell you that you could get fit was to have 6 meals a day because you had to keep stoking the fire and eat every 2 hours. And it was oatmeal and egg whites for breakfast. And then it was fish and some green vegetable or chicken, and some green vegetable the rest of the day. And that was all you ate. And that was the only way to get fit was doing that and a lot of cardio. And I just, by summarizing those things, I've put a whole bunch of fitness or weight loss myths into one kind of idea. And that is that, and I want you to comment on this because I know people must come to you. I know people must hire you and go, okay, tell me what to do to lose weight. Do I do an hour of cardio? Blah, 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 blah. What do you say to people who think, you know, that you have to do 6 meals a day, you've got to be eating and that's the only way your body's going to lose weight, or that you have to do a lot of cardio, or that you can't have, you know, cutting out food groups. Like you can't have fruit, you can't have carbs, you can't have processed food, you can't ever have anything ever. What do you say to those types of hardcore rules?
Well, first off, I say, do you want to do any of those things? Right? It's like, you know, if you don't like carbs, then all right, cool. You know, then I guess you can cut them out. But if you want those things, or, you know, or And, you know, I like to start there. I think no one starts there. Like, this can be, this journey can be what you want it to be. We can manipulate things. Obviously, you know, there's going to be times where you don't want to do things, you're going to have to do them. But this can be a journey that you like and that fits your personality and your lifestyle. So that's where I always start is like, I mean, do you have time to eat a lot? Do you like eating smaller meals during your day? Or do you not want to worry about it? Because then we'll form your quote-unquote diet towards that. You know, what foods do you like? Let's make sure we incorporate that. Obviously, there's some foods we kind of got to have in. You know, if you don't like vegetables, well, we're going to have to figure this out. But yeah, and then especially with the working out and stuff, the cardio, you know, it's like, if that's what you like doing, cool. But, you know, we may have to look at your goals again and see if that aligns with, you know, 2 hours of cardio a day. Maybe that doesn't align with your goal of like getting jacked and building a ton of muscle, you know, like, but I always love to start with number one, what do you want this to look like? Like, what would your ideal journey look like? What are your goals? And then let's fit this plan and then go execute. And then, and you know, things will change over the time. You'll be like, actually, I didn't like this, or actually I do want things to be this way. And that's great. But we have to play it out to see that.
I just love, are you guys picking up? Like, and when you start following him, you'll see. I mean, this is the way it should be, that fitness shouldn't be this panic, this, oh shit, my life is going to be over to, you know, on Monday when I start my diet, like throw everything. And that's the way I used to be. I would clean out my cupboard. I would get rid of everything that was pleasurable. I would say, life's going to suck for 12 weeks. It was always some 12 week challenge. And then I would buy these horrible tasting supplements. And it shouldn't be that way. Like, getting fit, it should be a journey. It should be a long-term thing. It took me a while to get there as well. But I love how you're like, okay, whoever I'm going to work with, let's figure out what's best. I mean, there is something to say, as you said, you know, if somebody loves cardio, but yet they really want to have that, you know, like a muscle look with their muscles popping. And I see this in women all the time. They like muscles in their arms, but they don't want to lift weights because there's still this bullshit out there that women think lifting weights is going to make them look like a bodybuilder. It's crazy. Ladies, you have to lift weights. But I love it how you didn't automatically go, yeah, nobody should be doing cardio. And I do think one of the positive things that's happened in fitness the past couple of years, or maybe it's even been a little bit longer, is there seems to be more of a, people are taking a little bit more of a hybrid approach, as opposed to going, I'm CrossFit. I'm just a yoga person and I'm vegan. Like, people, you see CrossFitters doing a little bit of yoga. You see runners going to a CrossFit box a couple days a week, or runners doing yoga and then they start lifting weights. And people, I think, are more open to finding things that they like. And that, to me, is what's going to make it last, is, you know, finding things that you like to do. You shouldn't be looking, in my opinion, at fitness is like, what's the most, like I mentioned the guy on Facebook who's like, I have to lose 100 pounds. Should I get a Peloton? Do you think he really wants to do spin classes? Right. No, he thinks that's the fastest way to lose weight. So let me ask you this, because I want you to speak to the people. I realize we're like almost to the end of the hour here, but people that are listening that are new, we've got a lot of folks in corporate America who are like fitting in fitness on the side. But there still is this whole like, oh, I need to lose weight, I'm going to go keto. I need to lose weight, I'm going to go do jujitsu, or I'm going to buy a Peloton bike. And to them, it's not like, let me find something I love that I can do for life. It's, how can I punish myself and lose weight the fastest? Like, what do you say to people like that to change their mindset and help them realize it's number one, that approach is probably not going to work. It's going to probably last 5 minutes. But number two, like, you can actually enjoy getting fit. How do you talk to somebody who comes to you with those types of thoughts?
Well, you know, I think what I always like to do is, again, going back to fitness, it's all about like, hey, I'm not going to say, I truly believe you do eventually need to lift weights. I don't mention it though. I'm going to say, what do you like to do that's active? And can we do that twice a week? Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if maybe it's like, you know, I like playing with my kids. All right, let's go make that active, but you got to do it. You know, don't say you like playing with your kids and then like, I didn't have time this week. Like, let's figure out what you like to do and go do that twice a week. Call it good. You know, that's the easy win. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to, you know, look like a bodybuilder in 30 days. You're going to lose 100 pounds doing this, but we've got to get that habit of you being active instilled into your life before we could do anything, because I've seen it so many times. The people show up to my classes or, you know, they want to get trained 5 a.m. I'm going to be there. 2 weeks later, they're gone. And not are they gone from there. They're gone from fitness altogether. So I need you to figure out what you like to do, because then, and this is the key, then you're going to start associating fitness with pleasure and happiness. Right now, like you said, everyone associates it with pain and suffering. But once you associate it with happiness and pleasure, you're going to seek it out. You're going to be like, man, I can't wait to go do this. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be open to say like, well, I like this. Yeah, maybe I'll like, you know, this weightlifting class. You know, maybe I'll like this spin class or whatever. And then we can gradually start to do that. But if you always have in the back of your mind, if you're always associating with pain, you know, you kind of look at like schoolwork, right? Everyone always associates that with pain, and they never want to do that. And that kind of stops them, and it stopped me from reading for a long time because I always associated with pain and like school. Then I took a step back. I was like, wait, you can read what you actually like, right? Things you enjoy. And now I can't go a day without reading, you know, and that's because I associate with pleasure. And
it's so true.
That's the real big key. So as far as fitness goes, you know, I say like, we got to figure that part out. And then food wise, I think it just comes with awareness. You know, we just have to see like, do you even know what you eat all the time? Like, and where that's at, you know, maybe you track a couple of days and most of the time when I have people do this, like, dang, I didn't know I was eating that much, you know? And it's like, okay, so now we have a starting point. You know, what can we start to reduce here?
Do you see that? I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, and I was one of them, the first time in my life that I actually started losing weight was when I started keeping a food journal. And this was like pre-internet dinosaur days.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was. It was, well, I think it was actually the internet was around, but I remember like, if you think like this was before you could go to like, if you were going to go to Wendy's restaurant and you couldn't go to Wendy's.com and look up the nutrition information, it just wasn't there. But there was, I remember a website, and I bet you it's still around. I bet you it hasn't been updated since 1999, but it was called Dottie's Weight Loss Zone. And she was in Weight Watchers, and she had done all the research and found out the calorie counts of everything. And she put them on a website. And that's where I got most of my information. And when I first started tracking my calories, I was eating so much more than I thought. And so of course I did the typical 1200 calorie, you know, skinny cow diet back then, lean cuisine. That was way back in the day. I'm smarter now. My problem, and my man's problem. And I think this is why I'm encouraging everybody to do what Mitch says, which is if you're starting out and you're frustrated and you're not keeping a food diary, you're not doing MyFitnessPal, it will really open your eyes, because we all think, especially if you've been in a fitness game or journey for any period of time, we can all become very delusional and go, I've got this. Like, I'm eating the grilled chicken. I'm not doing a ton of mayo. I get cheese on the side, whatever. You can be either eating way too much with little things, and it can be with healthy foods. It can be with, you know, you're not counting that Starbucks skinny cappuccino you get every afternoon with the bran muffin. Or it could be like me, my problem is, I get into a work zone and I don't meal prep like you do, Mitch. I wish I could. I wish, you know, someone like you, I could clone you and have you live in my house, because meal prep is my big problem. But if I don't have food prepared and I go out into that kitchen and there is nothing that I want to eat, I will not go to one of the restaurants that's literally within walking distance of my place. I won't make something because I automatically assume it's going to take me too long and it's going to distract me from work. So my problem is I don't eat enough, and I'll go all day having like hummus and crackers. Mm. And then I'm like, oh shit. And you know what I do? So this is the number one thing I'm working on. I'll go, it's just today. I'm too stressed. Just, you know, eat hummus today and tomorrow you'll get back on track. Mm. And then the next day I don't eat enough and I'll just have a protein shake and some hummus. These are my issues, is not eating enough. And would you say to people that are listening, because it took me a while to get around this, it can be just as detrimental to your fitness journey when you are training regularly and not eating enough, whether it's not eating enough protein or just not eating enough calories in general, as it is to overeat, you know, be eating 3,000 calories a day versus maybe you should be at 1,700. Is it those two things can be just as detrimental, hence why you need to start tracking your food. Do you agree?
Yeah. You know, we talked about stress earlier, and those are both stressors on the body, right? So like, number one, it's a stressor to take in less calories than you burn, right? That's a stressor on your body. And then you're going to go in the gym and hit it with another stressor. Mm. So yeah, that is, you know, just more added stress. And same with getting in extra calories. It's another stressor. So it all comes back to that, and it is detrimental. And, you know, with the under-eating part is like, I think a lot of people associate what they eat with like fueling their workout. You know, I didn't eat enough, so my workout's gonna suck, I'm not gonna build muscle or whatever. But it's like, you know, our brain uses food too. You know, our organs and our whole body uses food as energy to run. And so like, not getting enough food, you know, is like making it hard for you to operate your day optimally.
Yeah, so true. I mean, these are, for everybody listening, truthfully, like these are, you, and I also think too, to go with this, you really have to be, if you want to get healthy, and that should be your first goal, is to get healthy. Right. and put your fat loss in, like, you know, from a aesthetic perspective, what you want to look like, what size you want to be, what, you know, how low body fat you want to get. Make that second. Make it that you want to be healthy. You want to be able to, I'm 50 and I love the fact that, you know, I can go out and go hiking up Lake Blanche in Park City, Utah, and just kick ass, as opposed to like not being able to walk up the stairs like some people my age or people that are 15 years younger than me, because they're so overweight, so unhealthy, so out of shape, so lacking in nutrition. So, you know, be willing to look at yourself and be really honest. Like, I've made the most progress in my fitness journey when I've been able to do what I just did, which is, Here's what I do, guys. This is how stupid I am. I am so lazy. And you just have to be real. Like, I go out there and I don't know why it's a big deal to just do some meal prep on, and you know, I use Trifecta Nutrition, so that's going to help. But like, make it a priority and say, okay, here's my weakness. If I don't have food made, I don't eat. And then when I don't eat, I don't eat enough. And I'm basically paying for a gym membership and a trainer, and I'm wasting my time, and I'm causing myself to have headaches because I'm not eating enough. Why waste your time? Like, be honest with yourself. That said, we are like literally at the end of the hour, and I feel like I could talk to you for 6 more hours. So I'm probably going to have to invite you back on the show, Mitch, but we will do that. For everybody listening, I know that they are going to want to reach out to you, because I asked him at the beginning of the show, ladies and gentlemen, he does offer, he's on the West Coast, in Seattle area. And he does offer online training. So this is somebody that not only you can follow and learn a lot from, but if you want to take things up a notch, he is also available for hire. So Mitch, tell people where they can follow you online, where they can find you to potentially talk about, you know, if they're interested in hiring you, and, you know, if there's an email address they can reach out to you, if you just prefer that they do it on Instagram, let them know where they can find you, and we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. At Easy Wins Mitch is my Instagram handle. The Easy Wins podcast, that's the podcast if you want to hear more from me. Always answering my DMs. If you have questions, you can reach out and ask for coaching there. Also, my company is called High Def Seattle. I run that with a business partner who is a physical therapist. And yeah, we provide a lot of online services as well. So feel free to head to hidefseattle.com. That's just HIDEF. And yeah, there's plenty of places to request some information, but would love to hear from you.
And one last question. What is your favorite hair product?
Favorite?
You don't get to ask it. The guy has mad hair. It's amazing. He has like amazing. I mean, as a chick who loves like my hair getting as much body as every time I see Mitch, and I got to tell you, my man and I literally watch you like a television show. Like, you're so awesome. You're doing so much good. I want everybody to follow you because the stuff you throw down is amazing. But I just love your personality and your vibe, and your hair is like mind boggling because it defies gravity. So what's your favorite hair product?
So yeah, I appreciate that. Really do. But it's, and you know, what's funny is like up until like 3 years ago, I just had a shaved head. I would just get a buzz cut. but my favorite, it's this company called Ruzel, R-E-U-Z-E-L. I can't remember where they're from. They're like European guys, but it's really cool, like pomade, and I need like extra strength because otherwise my hair is just all over the place. It's super thick. So
we're going to link that up.
I know. I'm like, I need an endorsement deal from those guys.
I'll work on it. Yeah. I'll tell them what an amazing influencer you are because you are. So, no, but seriously, when you guys go check him out, you will know what I'm talking about. You'd be like, wow, he really does have legit hair. It's pretty cool. So we will link that up in the show notes. And for everybody listening, you know, the show notes now are going to be at thekellyoshow.com. If you have any questions about this episode, of course, if you have questions for Mitch, we want you to follow him and direct those questions to him directly. If you have questions for me about this show, about future guests, if you have somebody that you would like to nominate that I interview on the show, or if you're interested in sponsoring future episodes, you can email my assistant, Angie at kellyalexa.com. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks so much, Mitch, for being on the show. And we will see you guys all next time on The Kelly O Show.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this two-part episode, the interview with Easy Wins Mitch. I hope you liked the episode. If you did, I would so appreciate it if you would head on over to iTunes and look up The Kelly O Show. Hopefully, you're already subscribed. But if you could, leave a review. Review, if you've been listening to any podcast, you know, reviews are what help a show really get seen and heard by a lot more people. And I'm very passionate about making this show bigger and better than ever before and touching more lives and helping more people change their lives for the better. So your review would help. I would so appreciate it. And of course, if you have any questions about this show or being a guest on the show, or if you're interested in future sponsorship opportunities, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can reach out to my assistant, Angie at kellyalexa.com. And her name is spelled A-N-G-I-E at kellyalexa.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time on The Kelly O Show.